Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on, it's about keeping everything secure.
Hey, Hotels.com here. Struggling to keep up with your toddler? We know a hotel that'll keep them entertained. Book family-friendly hotels with pools in the Hotels.com app. Find your perfect somewhere.
I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. Listen to Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Crappens. Don't wait a week for a new video. Join our Patreon at the Crappens On Demand level for instant recap access. Link in description. Enjoy the show. Well, hello and welcome to Crappy Hour. Ugh. It's Watch What Crappens, a live every other Monday show. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Ronnie. How are you doing?
Oh, good. That's Ben over there. I'm Rondell. And today, we're going to be talking about some Bravo goss. What's been on your mind for the past 2 weeks with all this craziness happening in the world? I mean, not the real craziness, obviously. We avoid that. But the Bravo craziness.
Yeah, it's the usual Bravo stuff. I mean, there's like, I'm going to be very respectful, and I'm not going to start a crappy hour on like any sort of downer notes. But there's been some downer news in the world of Bravo. But there's also been the usual petty stuff. Honestly, I've just been really enjoying, you know, after the crappies were done and everything, just coming back and relaxing and having like finally having an exhale. And, you know, I've just been sort of reading the headlines and enjoying our. It's fun to get back to watching Bravo and enjoying it and not being stressed because you have to get ready for the crappies. So that's where I'm at mentally. How about you?
Oh, good. I'm great mentally. I mean, I slept all last week because I was sick, and so I just slept, and it was amazing. But one thing that happens when you do that is you read a lot of Reddit. Well, I read a lot of Reddit, you know. So I was reading a ton of Bravo news. Yeah, first up is a sad one, is that Teddy has, like, brain tumors and stuff. Teddy has brain tumors, which is so sad. So, you know, sending our best out to her because – Jesus.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, Teddy has been, you know, like a punching bag for so many of us in the Bravo universe and everything, become a villain, etc. But I don't think anyone wishes this on anyone. So, you know, we just hope a very speedy and healthy and quick recovery for Teddy. It's so scary. And just wishing her all the best.
And otherwise, I've just been reading Craig and Paige news because that's all that they're, I mean, that's mostly what's out there is like, oh my God, Paige and Craig broke up, and then war is breaking out between the two fandoms, I guess, and cast kind of. So that's been super fun to read.
And Traitors stuff too. Traitors is always on my mind. So I've been talking a lot about the Traitors, et cetera, you know, because that hits our Bravo universe.
All right, well, why don't we start out with a little bit of Southern Charm versus, not Southern Hospitality, what's the Northern one? The North versus the South, they're calling it. It's the new Civil War, Summer House in the North versus Southern charm in the South. First, we've got an innocent breakup, and then it turns out it wasn't so innocent because everyone's going for each other. And then you've got Paige saying that she hid this breakup for a month to shield, you know, because Craig needed some time. And then Craig pretended like it was all this ambush and he had no idea and got on Instagram all charming about it. And then Paige got mad and said, he's been texting two bitches. I caught him texting two bitches when we were together. And that was the end of Summer House. And then we had Patricia and Austin kind of coming for Paige on Watch What Happens Live, which we got to see behind the bar, which is cool.
Yes.
And then Amanda and Kyle went on some other show and basically dissed Craig and called him a wuss and said he should have stood up for Paige. And then we have Patricia on Southern Charm saying that Paige is mean. So the latest in what's happened is Sierra. You know, I think that Sierra wasn't meant to be on Traitors. It was supposed to be Lindsay. And I think that Sierra was hired after Lindsay was let go after Dorinda outed her pregnancy and told everybody that she either had a miscarriage or was going to miscarry. I mean, I don't know. That was a whole mess from another couple of crappy hours ago. But the latest is Sierra being on Traitors. And I have to say that show's given her a lot more confidence and, may I say, personality. Dare I say it? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny about the personality part because after last season of Summer House, she had a really strong season last year. And we kept on saying, wow, Sierra's really come out of her shell. Like, we're really finally seeing so much personality from Sierra. And then the season sort of ends and the old image of Sierra kind of like returned to my head of like, oh, Sierra, she has no personality. She doesn't say anything. So it's like seeing her have personality on the Traitors is funny because we're like, oh, wow, look at her. She has personality all of a sudden. But the truth was she actually already came out of her shell. She has that kind of persona like an Emily Simpson where when you're sort of like out of sight, out of mind, they kind of like, she's not like Emily. I'm just saying that when out of sight, out of mind, you're like,
at least send me a taco.
You know, you're like, Emily's only okay. Why is she still on the show? And then you watch her on Ken and you're like, oh yeah, Emily like does good work on this show. So I think sometimes it's hard to remember that Sierra does actually have a lot of personality. It's just that, you know, it's just not always, you know, the problem is she's not always a funny personality. And I think that may be why we always think of her as kind of like more
boring. Let me word it this way. Forward. Maybe not personality, but I guess what I find lacking in her, I mean, I enjoy Sierra. So it's not like I'm dissing her like I don't like her. I'm just saying that she, I guess on Summer House, she's got stronger personalities around her. That she's kind of just a person in the ensemble on that show. Whereas this, I think maybe more confidence as a solo artist maybe is a better way to put it, because her confidence is much more noticeable, I think, on Traitors. And it wasn't at first. It took a few weeks. But I'm really liking her on there. I think she's been really funny on there. So I think it's been really good for her is my point. So anyway, this latest is Sierra going on Us Weekly and coming for Patricia, which I think is funny. And she says, I definitely think the Southern Charm audience and Summer House audience is completely different. True. I mean, there's some crossover, obviously. There are Bravo people who watch both. But you can tell in comment threads that they're different. They're very different audiences. I mean, one audience is very anti-Paige and like, poor Krang. He gave everything to that woman and all he wanted was a few babies and someone to settle down and keep the house warm. Evil woman, Delilah. And then, you know, you've got the Summer House audience who's like, yes, fuck Craig. We told you he was stupid. What do you think?
I mean, there definitely are two audiences. Well, first of all, Southern Charm has been around a lot longer, which means it's going to have a larger audience that's going to reach a wider demographic. And also, like I do have to imagine they've attracted different people. Like, Summer House was sort of born out of, you know, being sloppy and drunk and messy. And for so long, it was like a redheaded stepchild on Bravo. And so, you know, I think the only people who really watched it in the beginning were people who really were drawn to that. Whereas maybe people who watched Southern Charm were people who maybe, I could imagine that appealing to like an older demographic that is interested in seeing, you know, Southern culture, but more so that like the people on it have always been older, right? I mean, you had Thomas Ravenel, who started at the show when he was, I think, about 75, and you have Patricia, and you just have people who are just of a different generation. And so, you know, I think like it would make sense to me that it might appeal to, you know, an older group. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I think what we do see is we do see maybe a bit of a culture clash between generations with these two shows. And especially there is like a Northern Southern culture clash. I mean, I think that the majority of people are just like us. We're just like, we're just sitting, we're just gonna watch them both and, you know, laugh at both of them. But I can definitely see there being a little bit of a, what Sierra is saying is that there's a bit of a cultural divide between the two shows.
So then she says, we're taking the Summer House audience all day long over the super insanely traditional misogynistic fan base I feel that Southern Charm has. And she says, it's very old school, and I'm from the South, and I totally get that mentality, but we're in 2025, and I'll be damned if I'm an 80-year-old woman sitting on TV and coming after another woman saying that she's being mean to somebody. Well, okay, I mean, I get that, but an 80-year-old's allowed to have an opinion too. You know, I think her opinion is wrong, personally. I don't think that Paige is mean to Craig. And when Paige is mean to Craig, I love it. I think that was the best part of their relationship, was Paige being disgusted with Craig. I mean, that was kind of the whole point. But I didn't like that just because I felt like, I mean, if she's saying woman to woman, like you're coming for another woman, that I get. Because Patricia, I think, does coddle all the men on Southern Charm. Totally. She always has. Like, she'll choose Thomas over Catherine any day. You know, she's always been that way. But, yeah, I didn't like that 80-year-old. It's like, listen, I'll be way worse when I'm 80.
I know.
My God. I'll be twice as bad as I am now, and that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, regardless of whether the Southern Charm audience is older or younger, people who are diehard Southern Charm people were ultimately fans of Craig first, probably, before they were fans of Paige. Like, Craig came into their lives first, whereas people who were maybe, who were Summer House first, maybe they met Paige first. I don't know. But I do think it's more like there were a lot of people who took a very long time to watch Summer House and maybe never even made that crossover. And they probably just stayed with Summer House, with Southern Charm. And what they, if they're not watching Summer House, what they're probably seeing is Craig, who is a fuck up, but now gets this like sweet little boy edit on the show where he's like, I fix my life and I sew pillows, and he's adorable, and he has a pool now, and he has, his house looks cleaner. But it's like, it's not even that many seasons ago. It's maybe about two seasons ago, when he was a total disaster. Everything about his life was chaotic and terrible. And he has been a liar all this time. And I think that, like, maybe if you're not like as beholden to Southern Charm, you may be more open to seeing that. But if you're like a super devotee of the show, you kind of just want to go along with what the edit is giving you.
So then she says, Paige is mean to Craig. Naomi is mean to Craig. Let's ask ourselves, if people are mean to him, why are they mean to him? Now that's a good... That, I think, is the most important question in this whole little segment. And then she says, if that's your perception of mean, what's your definition of mean? Is it's not kissing the ground that he walks on. She has an opinion about other things. She's steadfast in what she wants of herself and her future and what her future family's going to look like. Is that mean? So I agree with her. But, you know, there is kind of a war brewing. So I'm loving it. I don't feel like I have to choose sides. I can just sit here and watch it. I mean, my side is Paige so far, because I think Paige, I think Craig's such a faker little fuck. And I think Paige is more upfront with who she is, where Craig hides behind this little dimples. And we saw it this week when they went on their group vacation and the mask slipped a bit. And Craig was like, what? I have to share a room. What am I, poor? I'm not a poor person. I'm going to share a room. No, but you are a cheap person because you still didn't go get your own room. So, just fucking baby. Just fucking baby Craig. So I'm going to choose whoever dumps Craig. I chose Naomi's side during that whole thing. I think I think the whole time we were like, dump him! I'm going to usually choose anybody's side who dumps Craig until he truly gets his shit together.
Yeah, I'm with that. And I think that, like, you know, you've been saying that there's been so much hate for Paige, and I haven't actually seen it, but I haven't actually followed too much of what people have been saying.
Well, I live on the internet.
Like, And it's just like, I don't understand the hate for Paige. I think that he is like a man baby, and she's been very clear of what she wants. And he's been trying to kind of like wedge her into this idea of what he wants, so that way he can feel like an adult instead of actually being an adult. He's just going to do all the things that signify being an adult, like Jax did and so many other guys on this network. So, you know, forever team Paige on this one. In terms of other Summer House news, I want to talk a moment about Bailey, who made her debut on the Summer House premiere last week. And a lot of us were like, who is this person? Who is this fellow Muppet baby that came along with Lexi? I know I was confused because we watched the trailer and, you know, we've seen the press and the commercials, and there was no expectation that there was gonna be another little Muppet, you know, on the show. But here comes this girl, Bailey, and we're so confused. So someone on the internet, because that's the way the internet goes, she broke down a whole conspiracy theory about Bailey. And the rumor is, according to this person, this was on Richio Recaps, is that Bailey was supposed to be a full-time cast member, and then she went back to the city and started telling people outside the show about what was going on with the show, and then started shit talking production and everything. And then production confronted her and said, you have to stop doing this. And then she just basically dropped out and quit. And that's why we don't see anything of her. And she's basically been scrubbed because people have been saying, well, she may not be like, she may not be super magnetic, but like even Alex, for instance, got like his own picture on the Bravo side, or the guy from season two. So what do you think, Ronnie? Do you think these rumors sound like they have a shred of truth to them, or is it just that she just didn't work out and they fired her?
Yeah, and in comments that were kind of furthering that, and this obviously all comes from Reddit, as that's all I did all weekend was read that damn site. People were saying that she was just dissing the cast. Just they're like old weirdos, and she saying all this stuff. And that's kind of the accurate read I would want her to have from being in that house. Like, why would they put me in this house with a pregnant lady, a married couple that's always grumbling and fighting, a couple of drunks, I'm not specifying which ones. And then you've got her, and there were things that were pointed out that I didn't even notice in that episode that we recapped, the first episode back, was when they went out to get the girls' luggage. They're like, can I get your luggage? And they only got the model ones, whatever that girl's luggage. I'm sorry, luggage? That girl's annoying. I don't care what anybody says. There's a whole thing of like, she's not a bimbo, she's just from Canada. I'm sorry, that girl's a twit, okay? And I stand by it, and you will see it. You will see it. If you haven't already, it's not like it's that hidden, but that girl's a twit. I don't trust her.
But she has Patti LuPone face, so that's redeeming.
I can't give her that, because that's a win to me. You know what I mean? I cannot give her that win. Like, I'm not a hater. I don't hate her or anything. I'm just like, why are you here? You're in the wrong, you got off the wrong bus. You know, that's how I feel. You got off at the wrong stop.
I agree. I don't understand why either of them were there. They're just like two pint size to be on the show.
And she's talking about being a model. She's like 5'6". There's a lot that I don't buy. And then she showed up to the Summer House premiere, like literally wearing a Band-Aid. Girl, it is like March. It's very cold. It's February in New York City. Like, I'm both worried for her. I think that's what it is. It's probably just the auntie van needs to pull up and just give her some blankets and say, put these on and let me teach you about men. Okay. So anyway, what was I saying before I got all upset that there was a child in my show? Oh, yeah. So I think Bailey had the correct opinion. She walked in and was like, what the fuck? I'm supposed to fuck these people? No, hell no. No, no, no. Because that whole show is like The Bachelor. You know, you're supposed to show up and you're supposed to fuck people. You're supposed to be at least ready to fuck them at the end, you know, along with three other people for your mother to watch on TV. But you're also supposed to make out and give your traumas. And I think she was like, I'm not doing that with these people. Are you nuts? I'm not even coming back. And I love that for her. That she's just some TikTok girl who's like, I don't need this show. I get more views on TikTok. Bye.
Yeah. She's like, I don't understand this. What is this? What's this concept of cable networks? Bravo. I don't understand this. Is this a new social media platform? It's not. Yeah. Well, why am I not on not on TikTok?
She's like, who's on a television? You know, that's like for the news. That's like for my grandma to watch or whatever. So I kind of like that. She's back to doing like elbow dances or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there may be something to it. This is a little bit of a side thing, but one thing we haven't really talked about at all, and there's nothing really to talk about from our perspective, I think, but like NBC, you know, NBC has sold all of their networks except for Bravo. Bravo's the only one they're keeping, and they're spinning off the others, and they're going to go off into another. I don't know where they're going to go to. They're just starting some. They created some side company called SpinCo that's going to, I don't know, maybe they hope to sell them or whatever. But like the whole NBC world, the whole Comcast, you know, whatever is spin off, and everything is being focused on Bravo, which I think is crazy. And I wonder how that's going to impact any of the shows that we watch. Like, does that mean that it'll be more money for Bravo, or is it just going to be like more Baileys? Like, are they going to try to fold in stuff now that they get rid of like E! Entertainment? Are they going to try to fold in elements of that to keep the audience, that some of the E! Audience there?
I don't know, but I can tell you this, they're not shooting more money at anybody right now in TV. That's, you know, true. Anything they can do with the dollar, they're going to do it. So that's that. We're kind of just watching this war unfold. But if I was Southern Charm, I would not take on the cast of Summer House. That cast has the girls, all of them. I mean, really, probably even Lexi by the end of the season will be able to fight in a decent way, because they'll train her ass, you know. But you've got Lindsay, you've got Sierra, you've got Paige, you've got Amanda. Amanda will wind your damn head off.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway.
Southern Charm. Please stop. Just stop the fighting. Paige and Sierra will eviscerate them. Lindsay will threaten their lives. And then Amanda will just wind them to death for the final nail in the coffin. So Team North.
Did you see that there was a picture, a BTS picture of Amanda from Summer House making guacamole this week?
Yes, surfaced? They cut it.
Can't believe they would cut Amanda's signature meal. Guacamole. Ever since her first season on the show, she's been making guacamole. Like, that's her thing. She comes on the she arrives in the Hamptons, she takes out that bowl, and she makes a classic guacamole. And I don't know why we're not getting more scenes of it.
That's like cutting Rose's turn out of Gypsy. Like, why would you do that? It's just not fair.
It's the 11 o'clock number.
I'm not here to watch the dancing cow.
We did the 11 o'clock dip.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen. And ultimately, you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
In the 1980s, a rosé swept the country.
Hey, Mike, I really like this white Zinfandel.
Well, good, good. Now put it down. I'm going to try another one.
White Zin became America's top-selling wine. But most don't know that this sweet drink has a sour history. What began in 1986 with counterfeit bottles...
A big fraud. A multi-million-dollar fraud.
Sent investigators chasing one of the most powerful families in the business, the Lichardis. But the closer the feds got to them, the more dangerous things became. It's a story of deceit.
At the time, I was paranoid.
Threats.
You touch my kids, I will kill you.
And murder.
With a .22 caliber bullet to the head.
What started with a scheme to mislabel wine spilled into a blood-soaked battle for succession. Welcome to Bloodvines. You can binge listen to Bloodvines exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So that is a pretty light drama, but it's been keeping me reading for whatever reason. So then today, some news came out that I was so excited to read because I feel like the world can't properly start to heal. Well, first of all, the world hasn't stopped being attacked. It can't heal till it stopped attacked. But it can't begin to, I don't know, we can't begin to mentally heal from everything that's happened from the last season of Jersey without knowing who's going to stay, who's going to go. I mean, that's a big question. So today I saw the headline, Real Housewives of New Jersey, season 15 cast revealed. Find out who's retained by Bravo and who is fired. And I should have known when I clicked and it was OK Magazine. Listen here, yeah. Oklahoma Magazine. I'm not going to be tricked by you anymore. This is the last time.
Also known as a magazine built in the spirit of Dolores. Okay.
Okay. You know what?
Do you have some new headlines? Yeah, okay. Here's some headlines.
Hey, Dolores, we need a statement. What magazine is this? Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, okay. Yes. Who was fired, etc. So let's go.
None of this is true. This is a bunch of bullshit. None of it is true.
Oh.
They're saying that this is how they're wording it. Three Real Housewives of New Jersey stars have been retained by the network, and now OK can exclusively confirm who they are: Teresa Giudice, Melissa Gorga, and Dolores Catania. Dun dun dun. And guess who the source is? Kim DePaola confirmed the news.
It's not seriously Kim DePaola, because the thing is, like, knowing OK Magazine, it really is. Oh my God, it really is.
It's Kim. It's really Kim. Now, come on now. You know, we love some Kim D at this show, but that cannot be your only source, OK Magazine.
What? I can just imagine Kim D calling up, hey, this is Kim D. Yeah, go meet me at the docks. You know, she probably meets all the reporters at the docks. Wherever dock, it doesn't matter what dock it is, it's just a dock. She's like, I'll meet you at the docks. And she shows up in a trench coat with like a little hat. She goes, all right, here's what I got to tell you. They gave offers to Melissa, to Teresa, and to Dolores. Okay, go tell that to your editor. I'll be back with more information tomorrow.
Yeah, so some of it's still fun to read because... the rest of it says, the insider spilled. Ooh, the other women, Margaret Josephs, Danielle Cabral, and Rachel Fuda, were not given retention notices. And at this time, Bravo's not pursuing them for a spot or any other projects. Fuda was being considered, but her husband's too much of a pain in the ass, and they didn't feel like it was worth it. Listen, a husband who goes and makes his own IMDb page and takes headshots of himself with a little Gucci sticker stuck on his glasses or whatever the hell that was. Never trust that man. He's going to be a pain in the ass, you know?
I love that this article has a photo of Rachel and John Fuda. And first of all, they look like AI renderings of themselves. And second of all, it's like, of course, they're standing in front of a sign that's like about like value meals. And it's just like burgers, fries, and beverages, $12.59.
One good burger, one good fry, one good beverage, $12.59. Huh? You're stuck home. You're stuck home. With good meal.
Stuck home. Yeah, that's the sign on the wall. Ronnie, you're always talking about signs. Here it is one. Stuck home. Stuck home. You're not coming back. Okay, you're stuck home. Stuck home syndrome.
As for Gorga, the source noted the decision may be shocking, but Bravo loves the dynamic her husband brings to the show. He's just so funny, and the viewers love him. And they're saying, while no official decisions have been made, which means you lied in your headline, you fuckers, the insider explained what they believe what will happen. As far as where the women will wind up at this point, it's looking likely Jersey will be led by Melissa and Dolores, and Teresa will be given a spinoff.
No, I don't see that happening.
I don't see that.
Bravo is going to have, is going to throw Teresa in front of that camera for as long as they possibly can.
Yeah.
There's no way that they're giving it to Melissa. Not Melissa. Yeah. Speaking of Melissa, did I tell you about the Melissa sprinkle cookies?
No.
Well, we received a box from Melissa Gorga of her sprinkle cookies, and they arrived when we were in New York. So they sat in the UPS store for a full week. So they probably were kind of like dry and stale already just from the journey, and then they had to spend another week in the UPS store. So it comes in a box with like, it's like see-through on the top, and it's got like a magnetic open, like you sort of, the front is like magnetic and you sort of open it up, it sort of opens up front like a jewelry box. So it made a mess all over my counter because the sprinkles got crushed in the packaging because they weren't packaged properly. So all this like pink sprinkle dust like tumbled out of the box. So it was everywhere. And then the cookies are there. And I thought, you know, here's the thing. If I'm going to have a cookie, there's got to be some chocolate presence. Like, give me a chocolate chip, whatever. So I was like, I'll have a bite of these. I'll try one of these dry ass cookies. So I took a bite. And sure enough, it was dry and it was crumbly. But it tasted nice. It was like, you know, like it had like almost like an almond extract to it, lemony. And I was like, all right, it's fine. It's nice. It's nice that they sent it. And then I've spent the week just casually eating out of that cookie box. I keep on nibbling on those cookies. I regret to say, I think the cookies are good. I can't stop eating them.
You got addicted, huh?
Yeah, it's somehow like I think that genre of cookie, like it being dry and crumbly doesn't even matter. It's like those cookies are made to be dry and crumbly. And so, you know, I give it a surprising, my review is they're not so bad, but you know, I also got them for free. And if I had to pay for them, maybe I'd be singing a different tune.
I just don't understand the trying to sell a sprinkle cookie. To me, that's like the dumbest thing ever. It's like trying to perfect a, I don't know, like sawdust. Like who wants that? It's gross. I don't want to buy it. I don't need it. Just keep that away from me. Perfect something else. Like there's so many other things. Like perfect a chocolate chip cookie, you know? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of cookies to perfect, but the sprinkle cookie? No.
And sprinkle cookie is a strange one. It's a strange one to try to perfect, especially after so many years after it was like a thing on the show. But
the whole point was they were store-bought and they were thrown in the trash. Like, how is that a consumer thing that you get in people's head? Like, that sounds good. Oh, like the sprinkle cookies they threw in the trash on Jersey? You know what? Let's pay a premium price for that. Send me 18 boxes.
Vince in the comments just says gay. And I say, if you're trying to make us feel bad, I say, you should be so lucky. And if you're supporting us, I say thank you.
Jennifer says, whatever, Ronnie, you'd love an M&M cookie. Yes, I certainly would. I love cookies. Yeah, I'm just saying, always. Like out of all the cookies, you're picking the not grossest, just useless. I see a sugar cookie and I see a useless, not a sugar cookie. Sugar cookies are amazing. A sprinkle cookie. And I just see useless cookies.
Well, someone says, you and Bethany love them. I didn't say I love them. I just said that I like them, and they're much better than I thought they would be. And they
don't
are
be
like
ashamed.
That.
You want to marry? You want to marry sprinkle cookies? Just say
I don't
it.
Want to. I don't want yes, to. You do. I don't
Gay.
Want to.
Gay.
Gay. I want to have anal sex with her sprinkle cookie.
Gay.
But they're the sort of cookie that aren't, you don't like gravitate towards them on their own. But they're a walking through the kitchen cookie. As in, you walk through the kitchen and you sort of are like, I'll break off a chunk of that one. And next thing you know, you've eaten like 12 of them over the course of 5 days.
Yeah, so, I'm still going to see those Girl Scout cookies. I'm watching you, little fuckers. I'm watching you. 10 boxes in my stomach. Look what they've done to my waddle. Look at this. Okay, so someone here, let me see who said this. Growing off grid with Derek and Gabby asks, The White Lotus, did you guys watch? Did you watch? You
did. I spent last night watching. The reason why I haven't watched it is because
I know why you didn't. You were watching the SNL thing, just like everybody else in the fucking world. You know what? Put that on your thing and watch White Lotus. White Lotus needs us.
I'm going to watch White Lotus. I just didn't watch it last night because I watched SNL 50. And then I watched Potomac. And then I watched Southern Hospitality. And I even watched Mirror to Medicine because I decided, you know what?
That
was
good.
I know I came back at the right time, apparently. Good. I just was like, I feel like I should watch this because we did Carlos King's podcast today, everyone. It's going to come out tomorrow. We had so much fun. And I thought, you know, he may want to ask a question about Married to Medicine. And I've only seen the first episode and I was going to like binge it over the week. And I said, you know what? Why am I going to do this to myself? I know what the whole season is going to be. Let me just watch the latest episode. And it was a good episode. I was like,
it was
yes,
good.
I came back at the right time.
Yeah, the past couple, they've gotten really messy on that show. That was the one. The next one is the one where Phaedra's like, fuck you. Bye. Bye, bitches. I don't need you. So that one was good. White Lotus was good. I loved White Lotus.
Okay,
I thought it was great. It was a really I mean, I'm in it just for the cinematography alone. If for nothing else, I mean, it is gorgeous. I'm in it for the monkeys. There's a very strong monkey presence.
Which
I appreciate. And then you have Parker Posey doing a Southern lady, which is great. There's a storyline where the brothers are going to fuck. I'm not sure what's up with that, but why not? Hey, I haven't seen that in a
while. That's exciting.
Yeah. So, yes, I did watch that. But that's not Bravo, so we won't go on.
We'll We could talk about it. You know, by our next crappy hour, I will be current with it. It just was extenuating circumstances because there was a SNL thing. And I didn't watch my Bravo stuff the day earlier because I actually watched a movie, which I never do anymore, but I watched Anora. So I was spent a lot of time. It's like an Oscar nominated movie about a sex worker who winds up falling in love with a Russian oligarch's child. And everyone's saying it's like,
oh, I knew her.
I knew her. That was what it was originally called. Not Anora. I knew her.
I knew her. Okay, so let's get into some Bravo news. Well,
I did love the SNL 50 special. I thought it was great, and I have many questions about John Mulaney's jaw. Okay, Bravo.
He changed his jaw, right? Is that what you're asking?
He added he Zac Efron'd it, and it's weird.
It looks nice on him, I think.
It's a little, I don't know, maybe it needs to settle in a little bit. I don't know.
No, it doesn't settle. The jaw is the jaw. It's not a settling implant.
By the way, a few people have asked, what's your take on SNL with the Ryan Reynolds bit? I mean, it was a bit. I don't actually have a take on it. I think it was a funny moment of acknowledging that he's in this shit show with his wife and Justin Baldoni. So I thought it was funny.
Okay, well, that's good. I didn't watch it. I chose White Lotus because I have taste. Okay, I'll watch SNL later when I can FF through a lot of it.
Bumble Bear 7 did not seem to enjoy it very much either. So you and Bumble Bear 7 are both Team White Lotus on this one, I think.
Yeah, Team White Lotus for good. So then this news is weird. This is weird news. Okay, so it's weird because I'm even bringing it up because it's Anna Marie Wiley news.
Oh, yeah.
Who ever thought we'd be bringing that up again, bringing Anna Marie news up again. But here we are in 2025, and it's getting crazy. So here's how it started for me. I happened to see this posted, guess where? The National News, just kidding, Reddit. Honored, this is from her Instagram, honored to be invited to the White House to celebrate Black History Month, which didn't he cancel that?
I thought it was canceled. That's okay. That's okay.
I would have loved if she showed up bragging and it had been canceled. I think that he reinstated it because there were a lot of people coming or something. But I think a few days before Black History Month, I think he canceled it. But I'm not sure.
I think technically he canceled it for certain things like the military, but it still remained a thing nationally. I don't know. Either way,
okay.
Shitty all around. But I'm glad that she's okay to celebrate Black History Month.
Well, at first I thought, Trump has done the first thing that I'm going to cheer him on for, which is trick Anna Marie into going to the White House for a party I thought he was going to totally ghost her, which would have been amazing. So here's a post. I look forward to personally thanking the president for taking a stand to protect women's sports. And then that's the picture post. And she puts the invite in there. And then this is the text post. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. A black woman in America. For my entire life, I was a proud Democrat. But that changed when I was very publicly and intentionally vilified and character assassinated by the radical left programming for saying something I believe: trans women do not belong in women's sports. I was craft-fully edited and puzzled together to look like a nasty person I didn't even recognize. Well, if that's what you said, I mean, you're just saying that's what you said. So stand by what you said then.
Stand by what you said. Why do you have to change parties because people disagreed with you? It's called just living in your truth. I don't agree with you at all. And I can't believe you would actually switch parties and do this whole thing based off of such a niche issue that's been totally blown up to be something bigger than what it is. But could you imagine? It's whatever. Well, she's turned out to be, maybe 8.5 was too generous for Anna Marie.
The editing on Beverly Hills. So this wasn't meant to be start a big political thing or whatever. People obviously know where we stand on that, which is for trans rights. And I think this is bullshit. But this is not really to go into trans sports. It's just the first moment where I was like, Anna Marie? Why are we talking about Anna Marie? Who cares? Can't we just not?
Well, okay. That's why she's doing this.
So then comes out the news that Anna Marie Wiley is now going to be suing the American Society of Anesthesiologists. I have recently filed a lawsuit against the American Society, blah, 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 because of their public smear campaign against me stemming from their IG post during my time as a cast member on Bravo. I continue to experience significant harm from their false and defamatory IG post about me. While I have not publicly disclosed my lawsuit, I am now aware of the ASA's decision to publicize on their website my lawsuit against them. Let me be clear. My lawsuit is solely about their malicious, false, targeted, and defamatory statements about me. I have always proudly, publicly, and consistently stated that I am a CRNA. I have never stated that I am an anesthesiologist or a medical doctor during my time on the show. This is not a debate over professional titles, blah, 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 blah. Poor Anna Marie. She's such a victim. So I just like to play this clip of Anna Marie from the Juicy Scoop podcast with Heather McDonald. Bring it up.
Here it comes.
You go in, they're saying that you're not qualified to say what you're saying. And so then you want to go defend yourself. That's what I'm assuming, stuff like that happened. And then you now have footage of you constantly bringing up the esophagus.
There was a lot of disrespect of nurses happening. My profession was constantly being diminished.
Versus, like, you're not a doctor.
Right. And let's talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Because nurse anesthesiologists are doctors. I have a master's degree because that's what my requirement was of my program when I graduated 11 years ago. But 10% of CRNAs are doctors. They are doctorate trained. And as of next year, every single CRNA that graduates has a doctorate degree. So we are doctors.
Well, good luck in court. Hope they don't have TikTok or Juicy Scoop anywhere on a podcast channel. What the hell? You know what? I had an opinion of you the last time you were on my television screen, and it's amazing that it should have gotten worse, but it didn't. It's still the same. Shut up. Just shut up, lady.
Yeah, this is someone grasping for another minute on their 15 minutes, and it's failing. This is just sad and delusional now.
Clear
it's,
her.
It's done, Anna Marie. It's done. Let's clear the esophagus. Let's give a nice big belly. Let's give a little cough and get that phlegm out of the esophagus, shall we?
Just go away. I mean, all I had to do was Google Anna Marie claims to be a doctor. That's literally all I put in, and it brought up all of this stuff. So, lady, please. We have more important things to worry about in the world of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Lisa Vanderpump has her own version of nachos.
Yeah, what was this? So I opened up this link, Ronnie, earlier. Ronnie, I opened up this link, and I could not figure out the link. I could not understand where the nachos was coming in. The headline said, Lisa Vanderpump nachos, but then it was like, all
there was, what is it? I don't know. I didn't even read it. I just saved it for tonight because I thought it was so funny.
I could not find anything about nachos, but here, I'm gonna do a search. Nacho. Okay. So Kyle Richards says, okay, so I think it's someone for Paper Magazine writing about the Real Housewives who says, since my social media algorithm serves me an uncomfortably large amount of Bravo-related content, I was fortunate enough to scroll past a few Lisa Vanderpump nachos jokes after the episode this week. It's a dead horse. Fans of the show can't stop being into dust. Thankfully, I'm here to intervene. Lisa Vanderpump would never wear this dress. That's because this dress is actually quite nice. It is a fashion rundown of the looks that are on Beverly Hills this week. So this person is actually, you'd think she's talking about nachos, but she's actually talking about Kyle Richards' burgundy, shiny, glimmering burgundy dress.
Well, what a disappointment. But I have to say, still more engaging than the Anna Marie stuff. So, you know,
absolutely.
Sometimes you take a shot in the dark and you don't get tuna tartare nachos. I could have sworn they were going to be tuna tartare nachos.
What? Okay, well, we can still talk about Lisa Vanderpump nachos. What do you think goes on a Lisa Vanderpump nacho?
Tuna tartare and that weird mayonnaise sauce that they serve over
the
there.
Spicy mayo, like a lot of it. Well, you know, but that actually sounds appealing. And I feel like she would add, there'd be like one other element that wouldn't be like Chef Joe.
Like goat cheese. Would,
ooh, yes, add the goat cheese and some sticky toffee pudding sauce on top, Joe. Everyone loves that.
In other news from Beverly Hills, bad news kept coming for Teddy. There was not only the illness stuff, but she also was sued for racial discrimination by one of the
This lawsuit dropped, I think it dropped the day of her surgery or the day after. It was on TMZ because I went out to TMZ to see how her surgery went. And it was like, Teddy Mellencamp sued for racial discrimination. And I was like, oh, wow. I mean, obviously not good. Also, just odd timing on that one. But yeah, someone is claiming that that Teddy worked her to the bone and like would only pay her basically $235. And I think like
no, $325. You're getting my disease.
$325. Yeah.
I think you've been reading too many of my notes where I just spell words, you know, every letter is high on order.
I'm just high on Lisa Vanderpump nachos. Sorry.
Once you get Lisa Vanderpump nachos in your head, it doesn't just go away, does it? I've been thinking about it all day long.
I have the Anna Marie Wiley school of facts and figures in my approach to reading this article.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so let's see. What else? Phaedra did not show up to the Married to Medicine reunion, speaking of Married to Medicine, because they really pulled one on Phaedra. Okay, so for those of you who are not watching Married to Medicine, here's what's going on. So they're having their annual couples trip, right? This is every year they do this, and they do things like, what is your favorite position with your husband? And then they play shady games, and then they all end up fighting, but they all come together because they love marriage so much. And, you know, that's kind of the gist of the show. Well, this year, Phaedra's on there, and they've been trying to get Phaedra pissed off all year, and it won't work. Phaedra won't break, right? So they are, and they say on TV, we're just trying to get this bitch to break. Like they say it over and over. They're clear with their intentions. Phaedra has stayed strong. She's not going to break and look stupid on the show. So now comes, she has looked kind of stupid, but she hasn't lost her temper or anything. So now they have this couple's trip. Phaedra is single. So Heavenly calls Apollo and says, oh, hi, Apollo. You know how she does in her really high voice? Like, Apollo, it's me, Heavenly. Her Heavenly fake being nice voice. So she's like, hey, Apollo, you know, we really love you. And I thought maybe it would be good if you came on this couples trip. And then that way you could show us how positive a divorce can be. Because you guys are such a positive example of a divorce couple. Mm-hmm. Which is such a load of horseshit, right? So he's like, okay, I'd love to be on TV again. And she's like, are you going to bring your wife, Shireen? And he's like, no, she's going to stay home, but I'll come. So they're thinking, okay, well, we're going to get her on this trip. Now, granted, this is the show that also brought Quad's abusive ex-husband back, allegedly, to with his new wife to be on the show to get
Dr.
Quad.
Dr. Gregory.
Right.
Dr. Gregory.
And Quad has taken it pretty well, I would say, under the circumstances. So now they're trying this with Phaedra. So Phaedra shows up. Phaedra trumps them. She shows up with this hot man. So She doesn't care if Apollo's coming because she's got this hot man. So then Apollo ends up showing up with his wife, who wasn't supposed to come. So now Phaedra's still being...
He cheated on Phaedra with the wife. Did you mention that part?
Yes. No, I didn't. So he's there with Shireen. She's there with this guy. I think his name's Shaq, right? So she's there with him, and he's hot as hell. And he's young. He's very young and hot. And so they're making fun of that, but they're like, oh, Phaedra. So it looks like it's going to go okay because Phaedra doesn't let it faze her because she pretty much figured this was coming. But then it turns out the guy that she's dating is one of Apollo's best friends. So it's like she turns it around on Apollo and is like, oh, great. You're going to come onto my show? Well, I'm fucking your best friend. It was so good. And
it was really good.
You can say what you want about Phaedra, but she knows how to play this game, and she's not going to play with you idiots. And she just was like, and then next week she's like, bye. I don't need friends like that. You're obviously trying to fuck me over on TV. Good luck. It didn't work. Bye. I quit.
Yeah. She's moving on over to Atlanta. You know, Kenya's out of Atlanta. So Phaedra just slides right on by, right on over to that franchise, which is bigger. But yeah, I loved how messy it was. I was like, oh, I was also so happy that when I tuned in, I had missed all of Dr. Simone's shitty, shitty couples therapy games because it's been, I just can't watch it anymore. I cannot watch couples doing newlywed game shit.
They were good
holding
this
up
time.
Signs, talking about how much sex they've had, how much time do you have sex, how often do you have whoopee? You know, it's like, oh my God, like it's over. But I came in right after that.
This time they were great because they had Quad there, and Quad also has a new hot young man, right? And so she and Gregory couldn't take it because Gregory was so, you know, mortified this guy was there. And obviously he's like short, and then you're going against this gorgeous Adonis who's rich as hell. And so Gregory lost this round for sure. And so Gregory's getting all defensive over there, and then he and Quad got wasted. So they broke that whole game up because they had a big all-out war during that one. So it was pretty good. But at the very end, you've got this whole cast who's been trying to get Phaedra. They bring Apollo. They all think it's hilarious that Apollo's coming and that Phaedra's stuck with this guy and that she's got this young guy. Now they've caused all this mess. And then it blows up. And then the clip for next week, the very last line is Simone going, "I just need to figure out how we're gonna bring this group of girls together in peace." I was like, oh my God, literally 10 years of you doing the exact same thing, causing mess and then going, why is everybody so messy?
Get the lemon squeeze out. Also, what was so funny is
that show is classic, man.
Well, I mean, again, I've said it a million times, everyone on the show is like hilarious and great, but I just find that the show itself is always the same shit. They also have a new couple, and there's a female doctor and her husband, his name is Steve Sanders, and he was a wide receiver in the NFL. And I love, this guy's like big, tall, muscular guy and very, very nice and friendly. He does not seem like a big, like egotistical guy or whatever. And so they're all talking with him. Was this like the first time like Steve and his wife were on the show? I feel bad saying his wife.
Yeah, I think they were just introduced on this trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's the plus one, not her. So I just can't remember her name. But so they're like, oh, he played ball and everything. And he's saying like where he played football. And then of course, Dr. Gregory, this like, he's this like this little munchkin of a guy comes out and he's like, oh, hey, we can do a push-up contest. I can do push-ups. And he starts doing, he's like trying to like flex, like literally in front of an NFL player by doing 15 push-ups in front of him. And it's just like his small, Dr. Gregory's small dick energy after all these years is, it's crazy. And then he has the balls to talk about Quad getting drunk. Like, oh, she gets too drunk. I'm like, sir, last time I checked, you're the one with the monk shot.
I have never had a stronger George Jefferson energy coming off of Dr. Gregory than in this episode, screaming and yelling and just waving his arms around. I was like, oh no, poor guy. But it was good. That show's been a classic. So yeah, so it ended up with Phaedra being like, bye, I'm going to, you know, the higher show in our tier, see ya on Sunday nights. So see ya, ladies. So she's out of there. I don't really blame her.
Yeah, I don't blame her either. I mean, it's so, Heavenly is so, so, so messy. And she's like, I don't want to, no. I mean, this is like,
but I also love Heavenly. Heavenly is so funny. I'll get mad at everybody else besides Heavenly. And Heavenly's the one that did it. I'll get more mad at Simone and Jackie for laughing about it and then acting like hypocrites. And they're so above it all when they were sitting there laughing and being a part of the whole thing. Than I will at being Heavenly, because at least Heavenly's real about it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I can understand why Phaedra's mad. She's like, look, I had a star turn on the Traitors. I'm like super in demand. You brought me onto the show to help out with ratings or whatever it is you needed help with. You brought me in to do that. And the very first thing you try to do is try to take me down and embarrass me. Like you were not going to destroy all this goodwill I just built up, you know, on Peacock. So I totally get it. Also, I have to say, that guy King is like, has he been well received this season so far? Because he's hot, and I loved the way he talked to Dr. Gregory. He basically put
Dr. Gregory. I mean, so far he looks like the perfect man. He's just like, whatever you need, I'm here for you. You know, he has that deep
voice. I just love the way
he's like, let me buy you things. Let me buy you a Jaguar or something. Oh, I don't know,
because he's a car dealer, right? Or he's like exotic car. But I just love that he pulled Dr. Gregory aside and was like, listen, like, I don't care. Like, you have to apologize to Quad. And he kind of like laid it out so calmly. And Dr. Gregory was like, you don't get to talk to me that way. And he's just like, he's like, you're going to apologize. It's like, oh, so she can say anything to me, but then I can't say anything to her. It's like, if you have something to say to Quad, you say it to me. And I was like, okay, wow.
It's a good one. It's a good one. All right, everybody. That brings us to the end of the talkie portion. If you guys want to talk to us on video, that's where we move next for the next 10 minutes. We will put the link here on YouTube in the comments, so you'll see it there. Come talk to us. Everybody else, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Ringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.